But a few seconds into battle, he'd realized his mistake. A minute into battle, and he had struggled to stay alive. Their graceful moves were carefully crafted for the sole purpose of delivering death. Their elegant features masked a vicious determination. And their calm demeanor was merely a camouflage for their impassioned courage. Apparently, an elfin woman could be just as courageous and determined, and even more graceful and beautiful. The door creaked open, and he turned to greet Lady Margosha as she entered, carrying a tray. The lady-in-waiting glanced at the closed bedchamber door. "How is Her Majesty?" "Better, I believe. Two of her ladies are with her." Silas leaned into the hallway to make sure it was empty, then closed the door. Lowering his voice, he whispered, "Thank you for sending the warning." Lady Margosha winced. "A little too late. Still appreciated, though." He had been relying on Margosha for years now, even though he hated the risk she took whenever she dispatched a carrier pigeon to him. His conscience pricked at him again when he noticed there was more grey than red in her hair. The older woman could have retired to a nice cottage in the village, but instead she had volunteered to wait on the Queen, claiming that the younger ladies would benefit from her years of experience. Her true reason, though, had been a secret agreement with Silas to serve as his spy. He cleared his throat. "You don't have to do this any more if you don't want—" "I know that," she whispered. "But our country is suffering, and this is the only way I know to help. If anyone can save us, I believe it is you." Her confidence in him was humbling. "I'll try my best." He relieved her of the heavy tray and plunked it on a nearby table. She patted him on the shoulder. "You were always a good boy." He snorted. As his former governess, Margosha had usually called him a naughty boy. "I didn't realize the Queen had gotten this much worse." Margosha glanced at the closed bedchamber door. "It only became apparent the last few days. I kept hoping I was just imagining it, but—" Her eyes filled with tears. "How can I watch this happen again?" Silas felt his gut clench. Margosha had served his mother for years, helplessly watching as she had slowly descended into madness. He'd been 6 years old that spring when his mother had leaped off a bridge and been swept away by the Norva River, thunderous and swollen with snowmelt. "It won't happen again," he whispered. "We won't let it." Margosha blinked back tears. "I hope you're right." He took her hand and squeezed it. After his mother's death, she'd become his governess and had helped him survive the grief. "Remember what you always told me. Never give up, even when it seems that everyone else has." She nodded with a sad smile. He glanced at the tray. A pot of tea and a small plate of bread and cheese. "Are you still having all her food tasted?" "I've been tasting everything myself." She gave him a wry look. "And as far as I can tell, I'm still sane." "Are you sure?" He smiled when she swatted his arm. "You were always a naughty boy," she grumbled. "That sounds more familiar," she huffed, but her eyes twinkled with humor. His smile faded. "I can't believe Petrus did this. Doesn't he realize Eberron and Turin will declare war on us? I must return the princess and the elfin woman as soon as possible." Margosha nodded. "I agree. If you don't mind, could you send some clothes to the woman? She arrived with nothing." "I'll send a few things." Margosha gave him a curious look. How did she come here with the princess? Is she not from Woodwin? She's the adopted sister of Queen Luciana of Eberron and Queen Brigitta of Turin. And she grew up with Sorcha. Oh, my. Margosha's eyes widened. I'll be sure to send some lovely things then. But how did she manage to arrive with the child? She hitched a ride on a dragon. Margosha's mouth fell open. That was extremely brave of her. Silas nodded. Loyal and brave, the two qualities he admired the most. Well, Margosha picked up the tray. I should take this in before the tea grows cold. And don't worry, with any luck, Her Majesty will forget what she did today. And if not... We'll deal with it, Silas told her. Yes. Margosha knocked on the bedchamber door, then went inside. As Silas left the Queen's suite, he told himself once again that whatever happened, he would deal with it. No stupid curse would destroy his country. He headed to the King's offices on the ground floor of the northern wing and found Alexei standing outside the door, leaning against the wall as he frowned at his boots. What's wrong? Silas asked. Alexei jumped to attention and saluted. His Majesty is not here. What? Silas eyed the closed doors. He knew for a fact that Petrus had been here earlier. The offices are empty. Lord Romac is in the outer office, Alexei muttered. He said he could fit you in for an appointment next Opal. An appointment? Silas growled. Next Opal Day, that's 6 days from now, Eberron and Turin will attack before then. Alexei winced. Then it's true. The little girl is the Eberroni princess. Yes. While his friend muttered a curse, Silas opened the door and strode inside. The outer office was small and sparsely furnished, with a wide desk on one side and a line of plain wooden chairs along the opposite wall. It was a cold, comfortless room that offered no warmth of a fireplace or sideboard stocked with wine for those who waited for an audience with the king. With no windows and with walls covered in wooden panelling, it was also a dark room, relieved only by a weekly candle clock on the table in the corner and the brass candelabra sitting on Lord Romac's desk. Silas had never cared for Romac. Like so many courtiers, he flattered and weaseled his way into being close to those in power. When the king's old secretary had died 8 months ago, Romac had somehow produced a paper from the old secretary recommending Romac for the position. King Petrus had gone along with it out of love for the old secretary who had served him faithfully for so many years. But after only 3 months, Romac had been awarded a title and land, becoming Lord Romac. His rapid ascent to power had made Silas suspicious, but he'd been too busy battling Woodwin to return to Draven Castle. His letters from Petrus had seemed normal, so he'd been more concerned with the mental state of the Queen. My Lord General. Romac jumped to his feet and bowed. My lord? Silas inclined his head, watching the older man carefully. Although Romac's hair was silver at the temples, most of his hair was black, which indicated he was a descendant from one of the three cursed clans. That was not uncommon, though, Silas reminded himself. The three clans traced their beginnings back 500 years, so there were numerous descendants. A few descendants, like Alexei, Dimitri, and himself, could communicate with dragons and with one another telepathically. Could Romac? Silas tried to read the man's thoughts, but caught nothing. That left two possibilities. Romac either possessed no mental powers or had erected an excellent shield. Silas gave him a test. What are you up to, you little weasel? Romack gave no indication that he'd heard as he scurried around the desk, still bent over in a subservient position. What an unexpected pleasure, my lord. Shall I have a servant bring you some refreshment? Silas shook his head. I'm here to see His Majesty. I'm afraid he's not in right now, but I'll gladly set an Since when do I need an appointment? Romack waved a dismissive hand as he smiled in an ingratiating manner. I mean no offence, my lord. This is simply the best way to assure that— Are you determining who is allowed to see the king? Romack's smile froze, and his eyes glinted with irritation that was so quickly suppressed that Silas wasn't sure he'd seen it. Romack folded his thin hands over his waist and bowed low. I am merely trying to fulfill my duties to the best of my ability. Silas noted the multiple rings the secretary was wearing, each one set with a large gemstone. Was the weasel selling access to the king? Where is His Majesty? Romack circled back around his desk. I believe he went to the sacred well. He goes there quite often these days. Why? Silas noted the way Romack's lips tightened. The weasel didn't like all these questions. It seems to give His Majesty some comfort and peace of mind in these trying times. Silas tensed inside. The Petrus he knew had never been overly religious. Why was he behaving like this now? As soon as His Majesty returns, he must agree to send the Eberroni princess back home. If he doesn't, Eberron and Turin will declare war on us. Romack straightened a stack of papers. We are aware of the situation. And doing nothing. Romack's fingers clenched like claws around the papers. We will take care of the matter. You mean His Majesty will? Romack's beady eyes seethed with anger. Of course. I know the extent of my duties. Do you? Why are you not with the army where you belong? Silas scoffed. I don't have to explain my actions to a secretary. I'll speak to His Majesty when he arrives. I suggest you leave Draven Castle, or His Majesty will wonder why you have abandoned your post in these perilous times. Was the weasel planning to make him look like a disobedient subject who shirked his duty? Silas stepped closer to the desk. Why are you so eager for me to leave? Are you afraid of what I might discover here? Romack smirked. Paranoia. I see the madness is spreading. Silas's hands curled into fists. As much as he wanted to plant one in Romack's face, he resisted. For even though he suspected Romack was up to no good, he couldn't make accusations without proof. And if he acted too impulsively, people would indeed wonder if he was losing his mind. I will see His Majesty as soon as he returns. Yes. My Lord General. Romack bowed. Silas strode from the room. Well? Alexei asked. I should have returned months ago, Silas muttered as he stalked down the hallway. Alexei walked beside him. Why isn't the king here? Good question. Silas couldn't understand why Petrus had run off to the sacred well. There was nothing there but a hot spring bubbling up in the middle of an underground cavern. Tell Carlin to alert me the minute His Majesty returns and make arrangements for a boat so we can take our guests downriver to Eberron. We'll leave at dawn. Alexis's eyes widened. We're taking the child back, without the king's approval. If we wait, Norveshka could end up at war with three countries. Petrus will understand. If he doesn't, you could be charged with treason. The risk will be mine alone. You're simply following orders. Alexei huffed. You think I'm worried about myself? I've faced death with you too many times to chicken out now. I know. Silas clapped him on the shoulder. Go on, then. Alexei sprinted down the hallway to Carlin's office. With a sigh, Silas headed for the courtyard. This wouldn't be the first time he'd had to risk the king's wrath. But it was his sworn duty to protect the country, even when the danger came from the king or queen. As Silas stepped into the courtyard, his gaze fell on the runes etched into the stone pavement. Protection from the damned curse. He snorted. Fighting superstition with more superstition. Since the so-called curse had persisted for 500 years, it should be obvious by now that the runes were absolutely worthless. But that had been the only solution his ancestors could come up with. Why did no one seek a more rational explanation? If the queen was being poisoned, then a human was behind it. Romac? Perhaps. But Silas knew from experience that things were never as simple as they seemed. Even though he much preferred being with his troops than a gaggle of overdressed, fawning courtiers, he would have to spend some time here. Something rotten was going on at Draven Castle, and he needed to get to the bottom of it. His gaze wandered to the top floor of the western wing where the nursery was located. He'd better make sure the princess was faring well, and her fearless nanny. As he crossed the courtyard, a mental picture of Gwenor flitted across his mind, and he smiled. She was nothing like the vain and self-serving courtiers who inhabited the castle. There was an aura of honesty and goodness about her that was refreshing, a sense of loyalty and courage that was admirable. Not to mention she was damned beautiful. But how strange that he was looking forward to seeing an elf again. Chapter 5.
I like the toys here.
Eviana splashed about in the tub in the dressing room.
But I want to go home.
Me too. Gwenor soaped up the little girl who was playing with an assortment of painted wooden toys that bobbed on the surface of the warm water.
Look, a big fish.
Eviana picked up one that was painted blue. That's a whale. Gwenor touched a sleek black toy. And this one is a seal. Like Maeve. How she missed her sisters. For as long as Gwenor could remember, she'd never spent a night separated from all four of them. Tonight, when the full moons embraced, her youngest sister, Maeve, would shift into a seal. She'd been doing it every month at the full moon for almost 3 years now. Gwenor could still remember the first time. That summer night on the Isle of Moon. Poor Maeve had been so frightened. Brody had warned them what to expect, so Gwenor and Sorcha had accompanied their youngest sister to the nearby beach. Love and encouragement had been all they could offer, for poor Maeve had been forced to endure the pain on her own. Luckily, once she entered the water, she'd found another seal there, eager to swim and play with her. Ever since then, Maeve had looked forward to her monthly romp in the ocean. She claimed the shifting didn't hurt at all now. Gwenor figured her little sister would have to make do with the Norva River this time. And most likely, there would be no other seals to keep her company. It had to be a miserable night there at the camp. No doubt, the party had been cancelled, and the two kings were mobilizing their armies. Luciana had to be scared to death. Tears threatened to fall, but Gwenor blinked them away. She couldn't afford to be weak now. For Eviana's sake, she needed to remain strong and confident.
Are you done?
Olenka rushed into the dressing room.
Nisa has brought some food.
Eviana clutched at Gwenor's arm.
What's wrong?
Everything's fine, Gwenor assured her in Eberroni. The poor child was so easily frightened now. 'Tis time for ye to eat, so let's get ye dressed. She lifted the little girl from the tub and winced as pain shot across her back.
Are you hurt?
Olenka handed her a white linen towel and a child's nightgown from the nearby cabinet. My back is a little sore, Olenka tisked. You shouldn't have carried the child up all those stairs. Gwenor nodded, even though she suspected her aches and pains were the result of her body slamming into Puff's forelegs. As she dried off Eviana, she spotted the small punctures where the dragon's talons had pierced the little girl's skin. I'll need an ointment for these. Of course, I'll send the maid for it. Olenka hurried out the door. Gwenor slipped the nightgown over Eviana's head, combed out her hair, then led her back into the nursery. Come and eat, Olenka motioned to the small table set with bread, cheese, fruit and pastries. Eviana took a bite from an apple tart and grinned.
This is yummy.
A knock sounded at the door, then Dimitri opened it to let another servant in. She bobbed an awkward curtsy, since her arms were burdened with a huge stack of clothes. Begging your pardon, Lady Margosha sent these for... The servant gulped at the sight of Gwenor. For... you? Gwenor groaned inwardly. Once again she was being regarded with horror. Olenka's mouth fell open. Those are the most... beautiful gowns from our storeroom. The servant nodded. Lady Margosha gave them to me. She said the general ordered it. Oh? Really? Olenka aimed a smirk at Gwenor. With the way he's behaving, everyone's going to figure out that he's your lover. The servant gasped and dropped half of the clothes while Dimitri muttered a curse and shut the door. It's not true. Gwenor cried. Careful with those. Olenka snatched the fallen clothes up and dumped them on top of the servant's load. By the light, there must be enough here to last a week. Another shot of alarm skittered through Gwenor. She couldn't remain here with Eviana for a week. Didn't the general understand that they needed to return to Eberron as soon as possible? I must see the general right away. It's urgent. Olenka snorted. I bet you're not the only one feeling urgent. She motioned for Gwenor and the servant to follow her. Fortunately, there's a bedchamber close by. Gwenor gritted her teeth. Could this day get any worse? After making sure Eviana was happily eating, she followed Olenka and the servant through the dressing room to a bedchamber. This is the nanny's room. Olenka whisked the dust cover off a wide four-poster bed. Put the clothing here. While the servant arranged everything on top of a blue linen bedspread, Gwenor looked around the room. A comfy armchair, draped with a dust cover, rested close to the hearth. Next to the chair, there was a table and candlestick. Two small tables flanked the bed. The room was bright, thanks to several windows that faced west, where the sun was moving toward the horizon. Quickly now, Olenka told her. You should change before your lover arrives. He's not... With a frustrated groan, Gwenor glanced down at her bedraggled gown, stained with urine. No matter what ridiculous things people might think, she still needed to talk to the general right away. I'd like to wash up first. Of course. Olenka frowned at her gown. I have a water stain on my skirt from drawing the bath. I should change too. She dashed through the dressing room, calling back, I'll return shortly. The servant curtsied and started to leave. Wait. Gwenor gave her an apologetic smile. Could you help me with these laces? She turned sideways, motioning to her back. The servant inched toward her slowly as if she were a poisonous snake ready to strike. I'm not going to hurt you. What's your name?
Kendra, my lady.
I'm Gwenor. She lifted her loose and tangled hair out of the way. Goddess's helper, it might take an hour to get a comb through the disheveled mess. Kendra fumbled with the laces for a few minutes, then gasped.
I didn't know elves were spotted green and blue.
Green and... Gwenor winced. Those must be bruises. I took a hard fall earlier.
Oh, well, you're all done now.
Thank you. Gwenor turned to face her. Could you mind the princess while I bathe?
Yes, my lady.
The servant dashed from the room as if she were escaping the threat of imminent death. Gwenor groaned. The next time someone acted as if she were a frightful creature, she really would vent her rage. She removed her soiled gown, selected a clean shift from the new clothes on the bed, then went back to the dressing room. She noticed before that there were pipes along the wall. When she turned a spigot, cool water splashed into the tub. Amazing. She would have to ask how this was accomplished, so Luciana could replicate it at Epton Palace. After washing and putting on a clean shift, she peeked into the nursery to make sure Eviana was all right. Nisa was back, and Kendra had left. Gwenor returned to the nanny's bedchamber and selected a blue silk gown. When she slipped it over her head, her back twinged once again. A shadow moved across the room, and she glanced at the windows. A large eagle was flying back and forth.
Brody!
She ran to the windows and nearly tripped on the hem of her gown. Without the laces done, the gown was dragging on the floor and in danger of falling off. Pinning the bodice against her chest with one hand, she used her other hand to unlatch the window and push it open. The eagle flew inside and landed on the floor. As Brody's form began to shimmer, she realized he would be naked once he shifted. Quickly, she pulled the dust cover off the armchair and tossed it on top of him. He flailed about underneath it, then emerged. At the sight of his bare shoulders, she turned her back to him. Then, with a silent groan, she realized the back of her gown was open.
Gwenny, are you all right? Where's Eviana?
She glanced back to find him standing with a white sheet wrapped around his waist.
Eviana is next door in the nursery. Please let Luciana know that we're perfectly fine and will return as soon as possible.
Brody scowled.
You're not fine. I saw the bruises on your back. What the hell did they do to you?
Nothing. The bruises happened when I fell through the air and crashed into Puff.
Puff?
He's the dragon who caught me. Brody stepped toward her, an incredulous look on his face.
One of those wretched dragons abducted you, and you named him Puff.
He didn't abduct me, he saved my life.
He brought you here against your will.
No, I asked him to. I needed to stay with Eviana, and Puff promised he would help me get her back home.
Wait. Brody held up a hand. The dragon? Promised?
Gwenor nodded.
I can hear them and communicate with them.
Brody's eyes widened.
How? I can't do that.
I don't know how, but Puff said he would help, and I think the General will too.
General Dravenko?
You know him? Gwenor glanced at the door to the dressing room, which was still open just a crack.
He should be here any minute now.
Brody nodded.
I'll talk to him. I've dealt with him before.
Oh, good. She stepped closer. Before he comes, I need to tell you something.
You know about my gift, right?
I?
Gwenor lowered her voice. I touched the Queen's hand, and she's mad.
Angry?
No, crazy. She's lost 5 children, and I think she's the one who ordered the kidnapping. She believes Eviana is her daughter who passed away.
Brody grimaced. That is crazy.
I know.
Gwenor adjusted her hold on her bodice to keep her gown from falling off.
And there's more.
You want me to tie off those laces?
You don't mind?
No. He motioned for her to turn.
You were saying? I detected something when I touched the Queen's hand.
Gwenor stumbled back when he tugged sharply at her laces.
Hold on to the bedpost, he grumbled.
She grabbed on.
I believe the Queen is being poisoned.
What?
Gwenor glanced back at him. I might be able to use my gift to help her.
Brody snorted.
She's the reason you and Eviana were kidnapped. Why on earth, Lan, would you want to help her?
Why indeed, Gwenor wondered. The most sensible thing for her to do was to leave this place as soon as possible and make sure Eviana was safely returned home.
But ye were born with a special gift, she argued with herself. Wasn't she supposed to use it? If she could help the Queen recover, then the woman might stop kidnapping children. Then no more children and parents would be traumatized. Green and brown, the colors of the Norveshki army. The number 3 for Eviana's 3rd birthday.
Gwenor swallowed hard.
Had the telling stones predicted that she would come to this place? Was she meant to be here?
When Silas reached the nursery, he found his colonel and best friend scowling as he leaned against the closed doors.
Something wrong? Silas asked.
Dimitri sighed.
Why did you do it?
Do what?
Tell everyone you captured her in battle.
Lady Gwenor?
Who else?
Dimitri grumbled.
Silas shrugged.
She was about to be arrested as an assassin. I needed to vouch for her character, so I made it sound like I'd known her for a while and trusted her.
Dimitri snorted.
Well, you definitely succeeded. Is there a point to this?
Some people think you're bedding her.
Silas flinched.
What? How did they... You said she was your captive, and she'd proven herself useful.
Silas gave him an incredulous look.
There must be 100 ways to be useful that have nothing to do with...
An image flitted through his mind of Gwenor, her arms and legs wrapped around him, her naked body pressed against him.
Damn.
She was breathtaking. And he... Are you drooling? Silas wiped his chin, then realized his friend had been joking.
While Dimitri snickered, Silas raised a fist, threatening to punch him. When I said useful, I meant her intelligence and fluency in several languages.
Right.
Sod off.
Silas pushed him aside so he could access the nursery door.
She said the little girl is the Eberoni princess. Does the king realize the mess he's...
He's not here.
But I saw him.
I know. But he left again. I don't know why.
Silas noted the worried glint in his friend's eyes. No doubt Dimitri was wondering if Petrus was also succumbing to insanity.
Don't even think it.
He has put our country in danger.
I'm going to fix it.
Dimitri winced.
You've had to fix things before, and he's not always grateful. I know the risk. But no matter what, we are returning the princess and Lady Gwenor tomorrow. It is the only way to avoid war with Eberron and Turin. Dimitri nodded. You're right. Silas reached for the doorknob. I'll tell Lady Gwenor to be ready before dawn. Oh, Dimitri grabbed his arm to stop him. I should tell you. She grew up with Sorcha. I know. Dimitri huffed. Is there anything you don't know? His eyes took on a mischievous glint. Actually, I did hear something rather shocking from Lady Olenka, but you probably... What? According to her, you're the most handsome man on Earthlan. Silas scoffed. If you learn something important, let me know. He reached for the doorknob once again. So I guess you're not interested in Lady Gwenor's response. Silas hesitated. Had she agreed? He caught Dimitri smirking at him. Bastard. Dimitri grinned. I heard that. I let you hear it. With a snort, Dimitri crossed his arms and leaned against the wall. So you don't want to know what she said? Don't need to. I can read her mind too well. Oh, right. Dimitri's mouth twitched. Then you must have heard her call you General Gorgeous. Silas hissed in a breath, then pointed a finger in his friend's face. Stop invading her mind. Why not? You are. I can't help it, Silas grumbled. She's practically shouting at us. I know, Dimitri agreed. It's so strange. Why are we hearing her? I don't know. If we didn't have our shields up, she could probably read our minds, too. She can hear the dragons. Crap. Precisely. If any other elves have that ability, imagine the havoc they could cause during battle. Silas frowned. I need to talk to her. Dimitri nodded. At least you'll know if she's lying or not, since you can read her mind. That was true, although Silas found it very distracting when she called him General Gorgeous. It kept reminding him that she was absolutely beautiful. The image of her naked in his bed flitted through his mind once again, and he shoved it aside. It's not right for us to invade her privacy. I'll have to tell her how to erect a mental shield. You can't do that without admitting that you've been hearing her. Dimitri grinned. General Gorgeous. Smartass. Silas entered the nursery to the sound of his friends chuckling. As he approached the little girl by the hearth, he noted she was happily eating with a servant watching over her. Where was Gwenor? His gaze wandered about the room, not finding her. Memories of his childhood rushed at him, slowing his steps to a halt. How long had it been? Almost 20 years since he'd lived in this room. He'd been sent far away at the age of 7 to avoid the so-called curse. The servant spotted him and curtsied. Then the little girl noticed him and her eyes grew wide with fear. Silas smiled at her and said in Eberroni, "Don't worry. I'm a friend. I know your Aunt Brigitte and her husband, King Ulfred. And I've met Brody several times." The little girl bit her lip, then softly replied, "I want to go home, please." Guilt pricked at him. How many kidnappings had occurred over the last few years that he'd been unable to stop? He squatted in front of the little girl so she wouldn't have to look up at him. "Your name is Eviana, right?" When she nodded, he continued, "The sun will be setting soon, so it's too late to take you home today, but I will take you tomorrow morning. Can you be brave and spend one night here?" She frowned, jutting out her bottom lip. "I'll miss the party, then. It's my buff day. Ewick's, too. And my mama's." Tonight, the two moons were eclipsing. So that meant Eviana and her twin brother were embraced. Silas had heard the rumour before from his spy at the Eberoni court. He'd also heard that all five of the adopted sisters were embraced. What kind of gift had his sister Sorcha grown up with? And Lady Gwenor, what was her gift? Is it Gwenor's birthday too? I know it must be Sorcha's. Eviana's eyes widened with surprise.
You know Aunt Sorcha?
When he nodded, she smiled.
It is her birthday and King Ulfwyd's. That's why we're having a big party.
Her smile faded.
I'm gonna miss it.
I'm sure they'll wait for you to get back. They won't want to celebrate without you.
Really?
Silas smiled. Really? He straightened and addressed the servant in Norveshki. It's the child's birthday today. Could you run to the kitchen and tell them I want a cake sent here tonight and some party food?
Yes, my lord.
The servant dashed from the room. Eviana's lip trembled.
Is something wrong?
No, she'll be right back. Do you know where Lady Gwenor is? The little girl pointed toward the dressing room. He refilled her cup with more apple juice. I need to talk to Gwenor. Will you be all right here? She nodded.
I want to play with the dollies.
Excellent plan. He headed toward the dressing room. The door was cracked open and he peeked inside. Empty. Gwenor had to be in the adjoining bedchamber. Just the thought of a bed made her naked image creep into his thoughts once again. Damn it. Stop that. He slipped into the dressing room and froze when he heard a man's voice. What the hell? Gwenor was with a man in the bedchamber. Silas eased closer to the door. Hold on to the bedpost, the man ordered. What? Silas peered through the narrow opening of the door and spotted her at the foot of the bed with a man partially hidden behind her. With her gown loose and her hair disheveled, she looked like she'd just enjoyed a rough tussle in bed. Damn it, stop thinking about her that way. But who the hell was this man? I believe the queen is being poisoned, Gwenor said softly in Eberoni. What? The man responded in the same language. Silas's breath caught. Did Gwenor believe, like him, that there was a logical reason for the queen's illness? I might be able to use my gift to help her, Gwenor continued. Silas grew tense. Could she really help the queen? What was this gift she had? And who was this man she was talking to? He eased the door open wider and his heart lurched. Damn it, the man was naked with a sheet tied around his waist. A surge of anger blasted through Silas, but then the man shoved his shaggy black hair back from his brow and Silas recognized him. Brody, shifter and spy for King Leofric. Of course. Silas noted the open window. Gwenor must have let Brody in while he was in eagle form and then he'd shifted. That explained why he was wearing a sheet. She's the reason you and Eviana were kidnapped, Brody grumbled, referring to the queen. Why on Earthland would you want to help her? Gwenor stood still, her hands clasped around the bedpost as her mind raced with one thought after another. Yes. Silas smiled to himself as he listened in. At last he'd found someone who thought the same way he did. After a few moments, she said, If I can help the queen, she might stop having children kidnapped. But if she's being poisoned, something dangerous is going on, Brody argued. You shouldn't get involved. She frowned. But shouldn't I use my gift? Silas barged into the room. Can you really help? Gwenor gasped. Startled by his sudden entrance, she let go of the bedpost just as Brodie gave her laces a sharp tug. She stumbled back against the shifter, but when he caught her, she trampled on the edge of his sheet, accidentally pulling it off his waist. Shit. Brodie dropped to the floor, scrambling to cover himself with the sheet.
Ugh!
Gwenor slapped a hand over her eyes.
I didn't see anything.
She lurched forward, but her foot caught on the hem of her gown, and she fell forward onto her knees. She caught herself, her hands planted on the floor. It all happened so fast, Silas was caught off guard and started to laugh. But then he noticed how Gwenor's white blonde hair had swept forward, the ends trailing on the floor. When she shoved her hair back, her back arched, and his mouth dropped open. Holy light. This was how she would look in a moment of wild passion. With her gown askew, her breasts were nearly spilling out of the bodice. He stared at her, entranced, and by the light, he wanted to touch her. He wanted to cup her breasts in his palms, tug the bodice down till he could see her nipples, see them tighten into sweet little buds. Then he would tease them, taste them.
Not again.
Her thoughts screeched into his head, and his gaze jerked up to her face.
He's staring at me so fiercely. He wants to squash me like a bug.
Anger blazed in her eyes as she scrambled to her feet.
I am not an insect.
Silas flinched. How could she think?
Don't ye dare give me that horrified look. I'm a woman, and I have the exact same female parts as every other woman on the planet.
Damn. Silas gulped. It would be hard from now on not to think about her female parts, or his own parts that were reacting. I assure you, I will never forget.
Sheesh, Gwenny, Brodie muttered.
Heat flared in her cheeks, and she glanced frantically around the room.
Dear goddesses, what have I done? Should I crawl under the bed? How can this day keep getting worse?
My lady? Silas stepped toward her. He wanted to tell her she was beautiful, but he suspected she wouldn't believe him right now. With her cheeks inflamed with embarrassment, she was refusing to even look at him. Could you excuse us for a moment? I need to talk to Brodie.
Of course.
She dashed from the room. Silas winced at the sound of the door slamming. I didn't mean to upset her. Brodie snorted as he rose to his feet.
You should have thought of that before you had your dragons kidnap her and Eviana.
The dragon that kidnapped Eviana is not under my command.
Whose command, then?
Brodie tied the sheet at his waist. Silas sighed. It wouldn't help matters if he admitted that the King and Queen of Norveshka were responsible for the abduction of the Eberoni princess.
A mistake was made.
Brodie scoffed.
You could say that again.
I want peace with Eberron and Turin, and I will offer my sincere apologies to King Leofric when I deliver his daughter safely to him tomorrow.
You can do that.
Yes, Silas nodded. I'll bring the princess and Gwenor down the Norva River by barge. We'll leave at dawn, and by noon we should be at Voruska, close to the border. If Leofric can meet us there...
I'll make sure he does, Brodie replied. Before I go, I should verify that Eviana is all right.
Of course. Silas motioned for the shifter to follow him through the door to the dressing room. Silas pushed open the door to the nursery. The servant was back, and the little girl was pushing a small pram around the room, loaded down with a dozen dolls. Gwenor's gown was properly laced up now, and she was sitting by the fire trying to tame her beautiful hair with a brush. Brodie watched silently for a while, then retreated to the bedchamber. I'll trust you to take good care of them. You have my word, Silas joined him. What is this gift Gwenor was talking about? Brody gave him a wary look. I don't think it's any of your business. She seemed to think she could help us. That's not happening. Whatever is going on here, it sounds dangerous. I don't want her involved. A twinge of annoyance shot through Silas. Do you care about her that much? She's a good friend and a good person. I've seen her get hurt too much. Who's been hurting her? Silas growled, and when the shifter looked surprised, he paused, wondering why he had reacted so strongly. Brody tilted his head, watching him carefully. She's been enduring some prejudice at the Eberroni and Turinian courts. Snide remarks and rude stares from other courtiers. And you let the arseholes get away with it? What kind of friend are you? Brody scoffed. I've offered my help, but she always refuses. She doesn't want to cause any strife between her sisters and their subjects. I've never seen her lose her temper before. That is, until she encountered you. Silas stiffened. I wasn't being snide or rude. You were staring at her. Because she's... Silas stopped himself. Brody's eyebrows lifted as he waited. Silas motioned toward the open window. Didn't you need to go? Brody snorted. Fine. See you tomorrow. He pulled off the sheet, shifted into an eagle, and flew out the window. As Silas headed back to the nursery, his heart began to thud in his chest. It was time for a long talk with Gwenor. Chapter 6 Gwenor winced as she accidentally ripped out a few more strands of hair. How could this day keep getting worse? After promising herself that she would vent her rage with glorious indignation, she'd finally done it, in the worst way possible. I have the exact female parts as every other woman on the planet. With a groan, she dropped the hairbrush on the table next to her chair. Of all the stupid things to say. She glanced over at Eviana, who was babbling to the dolls, happily bestowing names on each of them. After everything the child had been through today, she was still able to find joy. I should be resilient like that, Gwenor thought, and most of all, I need to be strong. After all, it was her weakness, her reluctance to stand up for herself, that had set up the scenario resulting in Eviana's kidnapping. So instead of being embarrassed, she ought to feel relieved and proud. She had at last released her anger and defended herself. But why had she picked General Dravenko to be on the receiving end of her rant? He was most probably her best hope for getting Eviana home. So he was the last person on Eithlan she should have yelled at. What a foolish mistake for someone who prided herself on always being reasonable and intelligent. Why him of all people? Had she finally reached her limit where anyone would have set her off? She shook her head. There was a growing suspicion in her mind, one she was trying to ignore. But what if she'd lost control with the gorgeous general because his gawking stare had hurt her feelings more than the others? With a sigh, she leaned over and rested her face in her hands. He could definitely be considered the most handsome man on the planet. What with the way his leather breeches clung to his long muscular legs, and the way his shirt and leather breastplate accentuated his broad chest and shoulders. She suspected he was even taller than Leo and Rupert. And the way he walked with those long legs had nearly caused every woman in the castle to faint, including Gwenor. Some might say his jawline was too sharp and his gaze too intense, but she thought it suited the aura of power that emanated from him. And there was passion. She could sense it in the glittering green of his eyes and his wide, expressive mouth. Power and passion. He embodied them both, and she found herself acutely aware of him in a way she'd never felt before with any other man. From the first moment she'd seen him, she had hoped he could be her tall and handsome stranger, as foretold by the telling stones. But the sad truth was something she couldn't avoid. She was an elf, Noveshka's worst enemy. It was no wonder the general had looked at her like she was a bug. And now, after her ridiculous rant, he probably thought she was a fool. How could she ever face him again? "My lady, are you all right?"
"It's him."
She kept her head buried in her hands and felt the sudden rush of heat radiating from her cheeks. Why was the man's voice so smooth and appealing? It reminded her of the dragon, but with Puff, she'd felt a degree of comfort. This man had her on edge. Would he go away if she ignored him? "If I make a snoring sound, will he think I'm asleep?" "Lady Gwenor," he said softly in Noveshki, "are you awake?" There was no help for it. She would have to talk to the man for Eviana's sake. Straightening up, she feigned a yawn.
"I was just resting."
She ventured a quick glance at him and noted his mouth curled up and his eyes twinkling with humor. Great. He thought she was amusing. It was better, though, than being regarded with horror. Puff had found her amusing, too, but the embarrassment was easier to take from a dragon than a gorgeous man. "Puff, can you still hear me? Please come back and take Eviana and me home. If anyone can save us, it's you." The general's smile faded. "We need to talk." "All right." She eased to her feet and winced as a shot of pain crossed her back. "Are you injured?" he asked. "I'm a wreck. My back is killing me, and I'm so mortified I want to crawl into a hole."
"I'm fine."
"No, you're not." General Dravenko frowned at her. "Did the dragon hurt you?" "I'm a little sore, that's all. It happened when Puff caught me. But I'm sure he never intended me any harm." The general muttered a curse, then turned to Nisa. "Heat up some water, so you can make some hot compresses."
"Yes, my lord."
Nisa ran into the dressing room. "It was an accident," Gwenor insisted. "Puff won't be in trouble, will he?" "Would you stop calling him Puff? He's a war dragon, for light's sake."
"Then he works for you, right?" Gwenor asked.
"Pray, please don't punish him. I would have fallen to my death if he hadn't caught me. If anything, he deserves an award." The general's eyes narrowed. "You're quick to come to his defense." "Of course. He saved my life. I shall always be grateful to him. And he was really very sweet and gentle. He held me so carefully." "I saved you, too." General Dravenko gave her an annoyed look. "You would have spent the night in the dungeon if I hadn't. That's not nearly as terrifying as a plummet to my death." "Would you like to go to the dungeon, then? It can be arranged." "Are you threatening me?" He gritted his teeth. "No, I'm trying to protect you, and I can do it better than a damned dragon." She snorted. Who was he kidding? His manner of protection was a disaster. Everyone in the castle was going to believe they were lovers. He hissed in a breath, drawing her attention back to his face. Blast him. It should be a crime to have both a gorgeous body and a beautiful face. But she wouldn't let him intimidate her. After all, she needed his help. I appreciate your protection. He gave her a dubious look that made her wonder how much he could see through her. She cleared her throat. I suppose I should thank you.